Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can gather together and praise your name. And thank you that you've touched each one of us. And you come and make your home within us, Lord. We thank you for that. And I pray this morning that you would really speak to us and show us, Lord, how you indwell us, how you teach us, and how you use us in a powerful way. Lord, we pray that you would just manifest yourself. And, you know, as beginning, we just say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and be our teacher and come move within us, Lord, and just reveal the magnitude of who you are and what you have for us. And so we give this service to you and we ask you move in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, the title to the message, which should get your attention, is Another Helper. Another Helper. I want us to look, if you will, as we're going through John, to look at John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. And it says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Original word is Paracletus. Paracletus. "He will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Now, really, it's important to add something to this as to the context, because Jesus will soon, he's talking to the disciples, and he soon will be returning to God the Father. In fact, on this day, at this time, the following day is Friday, and he'll be crucified. So that's the context which he's telling them, and it's like, you know, I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. That's the context. And so he's communicating to them. They don't get the whole thing, but I'm not going to be here for you. But he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Now, Jesus, we see here that Jesus wants to reassure his disciples. He wants to reassure his disciples that he is not abandoning them, nor is he abandoning us. Okay, he's not abandoning us in any way. Therefore, when he goes to heaven, he's going to send another helper. Another helper. And that helper will be with them and us forever. Now, as you look at this, it's really significant when you notice the word another. Another. Because another literally means another of the same kind. Okay, it's another of the same kind. It has a very specific Greek meaning. It's another of the same kind. Jesus is saying, Jesus will send a helper equal to himself. See how important another is? I'm going to send you another helper equal to myself. It's just like me. It's just like me. Now, when we look at this, we also see this word helper, and it is literally Paracletus. Paracletus. And which means called to one side, serving as an aid, advisor, legal advocate, a mediator, an intercessor. Okay, so that's Paracletus, the original word, the Greek word. And there's not a English word that captures this. There's no English word that captures this. And some people and scholars have looked at this and said, you shouldn't even try to translate it. Just put Paracletus, you know, put Paracletus. So because you're trying to translate it into English, what you have is that the English translations, you have different English translations, they'll translate it as helper or advocate or comforter or counselor. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to capture the meaning of this word. They're trying to capture the meaning of the word. Now, a lot of y'all like that, the NIV, okay? It has advocate, okay? And it really is kind of easier to swallow than helper. You know, it's like, okay. But the problem is none of them grasp what this word means. They grasp what the fullness of this word means. So none of these terms satisfactorily represent the meaning of Paracletus. Paracletus. Therefore, some people have preferred to leave it untranslated. Now, Paracletus, this word, is found four times in the Gospel of John. Four times. And it's found one time in 1 John. Okay, so he wrote 1 John. So a total of five times. But nowhere else in the New Testament. Four times in the Gospel of John, one time in 1 John. Only time. And John's the only one that uses it. So that's interesting. Now, in the Gospel of John, it always uses Paracletus is associated with the Holy Spirit. Each time when you read it, you'll see each time that word's used, John associates that word with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now what's interesting, in 1 John, where John uses it, he associates the word with Jesus and calls Jesus the Paracletus, the advocate. So it's not surprising then when you look at that context, it's not surprising then when Jesus describes the Holy Spirit is another Paracletus. See, you can see why Jesus said that. I'm sending you another Paracletus. It's going to be just like me. See, in 1 John we see Jesus referred to the Paracletus as himself. All right, so you have the wonder, and I think it's good, well, I know it's good to put our arms around this word because John is really communicating something to us, and we need to have a hold of it. And two, Jesus is leaving his disciple. He's going to be crucified, and these guys, you know, as you know the history, you know that they didn't do well right off the bat. But he's telling them before he goes, listen, don't worry about it. I'm sending you somebody else just like me. That's how he couches it. I mean, he could have used a lot of terms. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And they go, okay, what does that mean? And so, but no, he said, I'm sending you somebody just like me. Okay? So I don't want you to be, I want you to be able to know I'm not abandoning you. The word he actually uses later on this section, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm not leaving you as an orphan. I'm sending you another one just another helper, just like myself. Another Paracletus, just like myself. Now, as we look at this, so the doctrine that Jesus is laying on us, you know, last week we, you know, looked at the truth of what Jesus said about himself. I mean, just right before this, the truth, he says, just ask anything, my name, I'll do it. Okay, that's what he said. So we're trying to process through that. Well, he just carries on the conversation. And by the way, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you another person just like myself. Okay, now I don't know if you were there or if you're here. Now, that kind of makes my head want to explode. You know, it's just like, really? So, but we see as we're flowing into this, the next verse, in John 14:17, we see this Paracletus is the spirit of truth that's just like Jesus, and it's a gift to each believer. A gift to each believer. Now, we need to grab that and put our arms all around that. Because do you know what you all are? You know what I am. Okay? You're each believer. You're each believer. He gave it to you. See, that's who he's talking to. He's talking to it. And he's not talking to anybody else in the world. He's talking to you. He's talking to us. John 14:7, next verse says, the world cannot accept the spirit of truth, the Paracletus. I added Paracletus, but that's what he's talking about in verse 17. He goes, and I always add, we look at, what is the world doing? What don't they understand? And God goes, Jesus is going, well, there is a spirit of truth, the Paracletus, and you have it, and the world cannot accept it. So we know what's going on. Okay, we know what's going on. God knows what's going on. Really clear here. The world cannot accept the Spirit of Truth, this Paracletus, the Helper, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. He lives with you and will be in you. He just drew a big contrast between us and the world. Us and the world. And so what we have here, if you're looking at these disciples, is we're looking at our own situations. The disciples have experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit while they were associated with Jesus. So they've experienced this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit with Jesus. They've seen it operate. They understand what it is. And like he said, that's the reason he said, you're this Paracletus, you know, he lives with you. You've seen it in me. But later on, he's going to be in you. Later on, this Paracletus, I'm leaving, and you've seen him with me. Later on, I'm leaving, and he's going to be in you. So he's laying it out pretty clear what's going to happen here. But after Jesus ascends to heaven, the Holy Spirit will come and indwell the disciples and ultimately all those who believe in Jesus. And so as we go through this, understand what's happening here, what Jesus is telling. I mean, he's setting out the whole vision and future for the entire world. He's telling you what is going to happen. And his audience is 12 guys. And I mean, I don't mean to be too facetious, but these 12 guys are not the sharpest instruments in this tool shed. They're really not. You just can't help but wonder why he picked some of them. So that's his audience. Well, it doesn't make any difference, because it goes just like Jesus went way beyond them, the Paracletus goes way beyond them. And he's sending to the Paracletus that's just like him to indwell those 12, or as we know, those 11, and all those who believe afterwards. So, I don't want to be too facetious. It doesn't make any difference how much you know. It's who you know. It's who you know, all right? Not what you know, who you know. What you know gets you in big trouble. Who you know can really help you out. Really help you out. So here you have this picture that Jesus is coming. Now what the Paracletus does when he comes, he creates a divine union with God and man. See, the disciples experience the Holy Spirit because they were with Jesus. Jesus, and it's over and over, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Okay, we got this, you know. And so they observe that they are one. But once Jesus, and they experience the Holy Spirit through Jesus, but once Jesus leaves, he goes, I'll send you somebody else just like me. And he will live in you. He will live in you. So he's letting the 12 know. Any of you think, well, I don't have much to offer. I don't have much to give. You know, that's probably why God chose you. Probably why he chose you, because you don't have much to give, okay? And so what God does through you is going to surprise you and everybody else around you. You got to be kidding me, see? Because the Paracletus will come, which is just like Jesus, and live through us, and live through us. So, the Paracletus, when it comes to live within us, the Holy Spirit, it creates a divine union between God and man. Amen? Hallelujah. Great place to be in. And if this were what happens, when that happens, and the Paracletus comes to live within us, Look at verse 14:20. We just keep going down the thing as Jesus explains himself. In that day, in what day? When the Paracletus comes. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Any of you deep note takers want to pull out a piece of paper and do the flow chart? Now, what did he just say? I mean, what happened here? He says, because when that Paracletus, I'm going to leave, but that Paracletus is coming, and says, then you're going to know. Then you're going to understand exactly what I'm doing. You'll know that I am in my Father. Who's in the Father? Jesus. I'm in my Father. Okay. But you'll also know that you are in me. So we're in Jesus. Okay, he's in the Father. We're in Jesus. All right. And then you'll also know that Jesus is in us. Wait a minute. Okay, I kind of got this being in Jesus, your boss. But you in me? Do you see what Jesus is doing here? See what Jesus is doing here? Jesus, why you pick these 12? Because I'm going to show you it doesn't make any difference who I pick. It doesn't make any difference. Because once I'm in them, that's the difference. That's the difference. I'm the difference. I made the difference here on earth, and when I leave, the Paracletus comes, and he's going to make the difference on earth, whoever I touch. Whoever I touch. So that's a message to them. I mean, it's worth repeating. Think about it. Right here. You'll know I am in my Father. Jesus is in the Father. One. You are in Jesus. Okay, Jesus in the Father. I'm in Jesus. Well, if Jesus is in the Father and I'm in Jesus, it means I'm in the Father. No. And then also, Jesus is in me. In me. Do you see the unity, what Jesus is creating? The unity he's creating with mankind. Oh, God is up there and we're down here and we just worship him up there and give glory to him and we honor him. You know, he's there and I'm here. And God says, that's not how I work. God says, that's not how I work. I don't work like that. I work like that. I work in you, with you, because I'm in you. Because I'm in you. I'm in you. The whole point. Now, so here we got this whole flow, what he's showing us here. The coming of the Spirit, this Paracletus, will bring the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to dwell in the disciples and us, and thus create a new intimate relationship between God and believers. That's the church. That's the church. Whatever shingles hung outside the building, this is the church. And this is what God. And Jesus makes the church. Okay? And Jesus, as he dwells, believer, makes the church the body of Christ. Okay, the body of Christ. And so he's trying to tell us, and he's pulling all these things together. So the reality of the Son, the reality of the Father, the reality of the Son comes through the Paracletus so that we can have the fullness of all three to understand the function of God and who we are and how we relate in his kingdom. I just want to let you know, you guys were as powerful as the 12 disciples. We'll say 11 disciples. You have everything they have. Everything the 11 disciples have, you have. Everything. See? So really having everything that the 11 disciples have, all we need is like marching orders. All we need is marching orders. Okay? We already have, you know, all we need, we just need marching orders. Yeah. Which means we have to pay attention to the Father, the Son, and the power of the Paracletus. See, we have everything we need. We just need marching orders. Now, so we see this, and so the coming, again, of the Spirit, this Paracletus, brings that reality. That's how we know that reality. Now I'm driving this home, making a point, and I'm not here, no one ever would do this, but I've heard people say they won't talk about, like, the Holy Spirit. Ooh, that's, like, crazy. That's not crazy. You know, that means you don't want to know the fullness of the Father or the Son. You don't want that if you don't want to talk about that, because He's the one that brought that to you and explains it to you. So you're always going to be short, no matter how smart you think you are, if you deny the Paracletus. If you deny His work and His function. And His function is important. What John thought, I think he saw His function is real important, because he used Paracletus that we can't understand. Well, I mean, it's a good Greek word. Good Greek word, okay? But he said, it's the function of the Holy Spirit that you need to realize that what you have, and so I can have you to grasp the fullness of the function of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to use Paracletus. And the Paracletus is another person just like me. You see? So this is a big deal, what he's telling these disciples. And again, look, he's going to leave. He's going to leave, and he's going to leave them here by themselves. He goes, but don't worry. Somebody just like me will be with you. So nothing's changing. Nothing changes. And I'll be perfectly honest, he really didn't convince them of this. I mean, we hear you, buddy, but I'm not quite getting this. And as you read on, you find different things that prove that. Now, so we see that he is creating, he says he's going to create this new intimate relationship between God and believers. Paracletus does that. I mean, Jesus does it, but technically, the Paracletus does it. You know, I always talk to people, it's like, we're going to be technical. Like, if you're in the jam, you can say, God help me, you know, if you're in the jam. Oh, Son help me. Oh, Father help me. I mean, God's just happy you hollered at Him. You know, it really doesn't make any difference, so you don't want to just get hung up on the positions and stuff. But technically, there's some insight into the positions. And you can always talk, you have this picture of the Trinity, the Father on His throne, Jesus on His right hand, and the Holy Spirit within us. Okay. And so technically is that. But in reality, they indwell us. I mean, they do that, but they indwell us too. Okay, now if that doesn't hurt your head, it should hurt your head. You're not understanding what I'm saying if it doesn't hurt your head. But that's what God tells us, and He explains it. And so to give this picture, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit indwell us, He said, but I'm going to give you a picture. You know, I've been walking with you, and I'm talking about the Father, but I'm going to give you this picture of what this Holy Spirit does. When He comes, He's a Paracletus. Because He's going to do stuff. He's doing stuff. Okay? He's doing stuff. So what we have here, we have this flow here. And we see in John 14:23. So He's continuing on. Again, this is one section of Scripture. I'm not going, we're just going down the Scripture. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, John 14:23, if anyone loves me, okay, there's a key, we're in the camp, okay, we're in the camp, we love Jesus, okay, so it's not just, hey, whatever, no, we're not, hey, whatever, people, we love Jesus, okay, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. I love you so much, I'm just excited to hear your word and do what you say. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. Oh, I just love you so much. And said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Why does the Father love us? Because we love Jesus. The Father, oh, you love my Son. I love them. They love my son. I just love them so much because they love my son. So now you put this together. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Well, let's just skip that sentence and go on to the next one. Look at something. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. Now, look at this next word. And we. Who's the we? I heard one say Trinity. Who's the we? Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the we. They're the we. Okay? And we will come to him. I mean, this is like a family reunion. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. See, the Jewish mindset, the temple was center in the Jewish mindset, just totally center in the Jewish mindset. And it says you would go there and meet with God. You would go meet with God. And what Jesus is saying is, go, no, you're my, and it says this in 1 Corinthians. He goes, no, you're my temple. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, if we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're the temple of the we. Where does God dwell? In us. Oh, I wish God would show up. He has. When you showed up, he showed up. When you trust him. Now, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. It's the we. Now, this is the only place I know of in Scripture where it talks about the Trinity indwelling a believer. I can't recall it anyplace else in Scripture. But it is here. And to it, if you look at the words and stuff, you can see how they take the whole unity of everything and come up with the word we because of the whole verse there. So we have the Trinity going to make the home. We love him. And the Trinity will make their home, his residence, with us. Jesus, how are you going to say this word? Give us a word so you can tell us when you leave, all this is going to happen. He goes, okay, Paracletus. That's what he did. He said it, Paracletus. He says, that encompassing everything is what's going to happen to you. Someone just like me and the fullness of the Trinity is going to come within you, and it's going to come through the Paracletus. Paracletus. It's like, gracious sake. And through the Paracletus, they will make their home with us. And based on this verse, it's talking about the Trinity. The Trinity. Now, look at what Jesus, I always, we look at the disciples, you know, and these guys, God love them. God love. They don't have a clue what's happening. They don't know. They do not know. In fact, there's a couple of places where it talks about things happen after Jesus' resurrection. They go, oh, that's what he meant. Oh, that's what he meant. I didn't know what he's talking about. That's what he meant. And no. They didn't have a no. You know, like Thomas. I always love Thomas coming. Hey, we've seen the Lord. He, get out of here. It didn't happen, guys. Didn't happen. I saw it. Ain't no way. You didn't see nothing. See, they didn't believe it. They couldn't put their arms around it until Jesus appeared. And he told them, says, you'll understand when I come. And you always think, too, that there's another place in John will come up to it. And he goes, I have much to tell you, but you just can't understand it now. And I'm thinking, they didn't understand what you already told them, much less what you're going to tell them. You know, it's like, I mean, these guys were like a teacher's nightmare. Oh, it's just like, what's the use? Now, so you have this picture of what's happening here. And so we take all this stuff and we're going to come up to it right here. Now, we're going to come up to verse 26. When God the Father gives another Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, he will bring us into the realm of his kingdom and the supernatural. You hear me? Paracletus, that's what it does. It brings us into the realm of the kingdom and the realm of the supernatural. I want to share this with you. This morning, as I was going over the message and stuff, I put my Good Morning Churches on Facebook. Well, just below it was a little video. Okay, I did it. I hit it. Okay, I'm preparing for the message. But it was so interesting. Linda even counted the steps, and she goes, I thought you were getting ready for the message. You know, so she think I'm reading video, listening to videos before the thing. But anyway, but what turned out, now I know why I looked at it. I actually know why I looked at it, because it just popped up there. But, you know, with this Paracletus, okay, we come into the realm of the kingdom and the realm of the supernatural. That's what that does. I mean, when Jesus is here, supernatural surrounds him. The Trinity is here, the supernatural. The Trinity dwells up. The supernatural surrounds us. Now, we're subject to what he's doing. We're not making stuff up. Well, here's a story I heard. How many of you are familiar with Pete Maravich? Pete Maravich. Well, this is what this video was on Pete Maravich. And it's fascinating. And he was an unbelievable, like crazy good basketball player. Crazy good. And he really kind of went off the deep end, blah, blah, blah. Well, he came to know Christ. He came to know Christ. And so he is actually talking to some guys and giving his testimony. Giving his testimony. And he says, you know, it's important. He says, I've always learned to give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. And he said, and just God has brought me into this realm, and I know, and I told him, I'll never take another day for granted, and I want to give thanks to him. So this is Maravich. It's an old, I've never seen it. It's an old testimony he had. And he said, there's a thing. Says, me and my wife went up, and they had redoing the house, and they had two young boys, and they said, you stay right with us, you know, because there's a lot of work on. Anybody had two young boys, they don't stay right with them. So one of the boys, the littlest one, went and falls through a heating duct and goes two-story down and hit a hard granite floor. They just knocked him out, and blood's all over the place. They rush him to the hospital, and he says it was a terrible thing, and put him in, and the doctor, you know, they go in and said, the doctor comes back, and he said the whole time we took him to the hospital, and they took him in, and he said, God, I give you thanks for each day, and I rejoice in you, no matter what happens, I rejoice in you, no matter what happens, I rejoice in you. And he said his wife was off somewhere or other with the other little kid, and so she was just beside herself. And so the doctor came back and said, well, he's going to live. He's going to live. But the blow on his head hit and jerked all the muscles loose and told him stuff where the eye said he'll be permanently blind because the hit was so hard it tore all that loose. He said, that's, you know, okay, that's fine. Praise God, he's alive. Say, I prayed and just said, I just sat there praising God. I'll give you thanks to you and all things. I give thanks to you and all things. And he says it. Hours so later, the doctor came back and said, listen, I don't know, we went and rechecked his eyes and stuff. It's normal. He said, it's normal. He said, there's nothing. Everything is normal. It's clear. It's normal like nothing. He said, his head's still swollen and, you know, but he says, he's normal. And he said, I just continue to give God praise and I continue to rejoice. See, now what happens there, now I didn't know, I never heard that about him. I'm going to have a little footnote to this, but what this says, Jesus brings us into the realm of his kingdom, and he brings us in the realm of his supernatural. That testimony of Pete Maravich is exactly what he does. Now, somebody, well, what if he died? Well, then if he did, he still... You know God's hand is in that, and you release it to him because you have such a trust in him, and you follow because that belief was not whether he lived or died. The belief was in God no matter what happened. You see, and that's a truth of Christianity. It really is a truth. But also, it is a truth about in the realm of the supernatural. See, you want to pray. You want to pray. Now, I'm going to add this other footnote, which is, you know, it's bizarre. That's Pete Maravich, his life And, you know, he's married now, and he had, two sons and stuff like that. And so he's 40-some-odd years old, and he's playing pickup. How many of you familiar with Dobson? Familiar with Dobson? Well, Pete Maravich and Dobson were real good friends. And Dobson was an athlete. He liked to play basketball and stuff like that. So he was with Dobson and some guys, and he's playing pickup basketball. Pete Maravich. He's 45 or something. And he drops dead of a heart attack. Drops dead, heart attack. And then you hear Dobson giving the testimony that he went and laid hands on Maravich and prayed, God, lift him, let him live, let him live, let him live. You know? And he died. That's how Pete Maravich died. He dropped dead of a heart attack playing pickup basketball with Dobson. Dobson. They did an autopsy on Pete Maravich. And he literally was Hall of Fame, one of the greatest basketball players ever in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's unbelievable. All of them will give credit to him. He's one of the leading scorer, and he did the leading scorer before they had a three-point line. They used to have had a three-point line. He would pass everybody like crazy. But when he played, he didn't have a three-point line. Just interesting. So he's an unbelievable athlete. He came, had an unbelievable witness in the latter part of his life. They did an autopsy on him. And he had only one valve in his heart. He had a defective heart, and he shouldn't have survived birth. Shouldn't have survived birth. And no, and so there's no way he should have been any kind of athlete. He should have been an invalid. Go figure. Okay? Go, you come into God's kingdom and just go figure. Go figure. Okay? Just fascinating. You look at that, but it puts you in awe and say, my goodness, God, you can kind of. I mean, if you're going to do somebody going to be a great witness to you, why didn't you pick somebody with a good heart to kind of worked out being more healthy? You know what I mean? What'd have been if he had a good heart to get to live longer? He didn't work that way. But he did work. See, he did work that way. You see what I'm saying? But the point up here, listen to what this verse says. The Paracletus. Paracletus brings us in to the realm of God's kingdom and in the realm of the supernatural. It is. It is. Listen to John 14:26. Continuing, Jesus continuing the statement, and he actually uses Paracletus again. He uses it again. This is the second time he uses it. He goes, but the helper, the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. He will teach you all things. I'll say this, I get in trouble. That's okay. I'm not a big... and I know some great people that have gone to seminary and stuff like that, but I'm not. I didn't go to seminary. I'm not too excited about telling people to go. I never would recommend a kid to go to seminary. I just wouldn't do it. But I would recommend them to go to the institution of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit teach them. Well, how do you get that? Well, you go to God's Word. You'd read God's Word. You'd spend time with Him. And what happens when you read God's Word and you spend time with Him, the Holy Spirit teaches you. That's what this says. Okay? It doesn't say when the Paracletus come and then you go to Jerusalem Tech. Okay. No? The seminary of the first Pharisees. He didn't know. He said, he will teach you. He will teach you. Okay, Now, granted, people go off, well, I'm not going to study. I'm just going to walk around. I think there's the world's full of these people, by the way, just walking around and saying, oh, this is whatever happens. He teaches me. No, that's not what he does. When you focus on Christ, walk with him, read the scripture, and are diligent to do what he tells you to do, diligent, he teaches you. He teaches you. How I know you've experienced it. I've experienced it so many times, and it's like, God, I don't know what in the world you're talking about. You know, and read, and then all of a sudden somebody will say something or read something, and it's like, oh my goodness, well that is as clear as day. But that's what it says. Or you're talking to somebody and your word, God give you word, and you'll mention a nugget to them, says, oh, that just changed my life. I'm just thankful. God just touched me. And I thought, wow, that was cool. See, he taught you and you sin. But you're in tune, walking with him, listening to him, and you're in the kingdom. You're in the kingdom and you're in the realm of the supernatural. Realm of the supernatural. See, and whatever happens, you know, God, he's moving, and he's using me, and he is moving. And so when Jesus leaves, what did he do? When Jesus left, I'll send you the Paracletus. You're going to be okay. I'm not going to be here, but you're going to be okay. So I say to you, you're going to be okay. I don't care what you're going through. You're going to be okay, because he sent the Paracletus. He sent the Paracletus, and he's working all this together. But, no, there's no but in Paracletus. Okay. There's no but in Paracletus. He is doing a work, and we need to love him. Love him. And the Paracletus will teach you all things. Always, how many things is he going to teach you? How many of you, when I said this, go, but? See, but's not in all. That's not in all. See, God. And he will teach you, and at the proper time, he will show you, and he will unfold things for us to do what he's going to do. And that's what he's telling these disciples here. Just let me read it again. The Helper, the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit. Now, see, the clear association with Helper and Holy Spirit. Paracletus and Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance everything that I have said to you. Everything that I have said to you. I'm going to tell you something. One time, if you just kind of listen, suck it up and read the Bible one time, just one time. Okay, I'm going to tell you what's happened. He told you everything you need to know. But there's no but. And when it's time, he'll bring it. Now, you know, I think you should read through the Bible all the time. Be constantly reading through it, because it says renew your mind. Renew your mind. Okay. He says, I'll bring it to remember. You read it. You listen. You hear what I say. I'll bring it to remembrance when you need it. How many of you shared something, the gospel or something, and you're talking to somebody, and he's like, oh, I don't know where they come from. And then all of a sudden, you'll just have a verse or something to come up. Just come to your mind, and you'll tell them. See? Well, gosh, I forgot. I memorized that. The Paracletus gets out and looks at you. Didn't remember it. Okay, I remembered it and reminded you. Oh, it was him. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, it's working. We just don't give him credit for it. We don't. Give him credit for it. See, now, so you have this picture here of what Jesus is saying. Okay, it's real clear what he's saying. It's not real clear how it works, but it's real clear what he's saying. He's real clear what he's saying. So, but now we understand, because he said this, now we understand a few things he said. In Acts, you know, we understand that because, well, before we get to Acts, Jesus, our Paracletus, sent us another Paracletus, spiritual truth. The Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, will impress his commandments, the commandments of Jesus, on our hearts, bring his teachings to our minds, and move on our behalf. Now, this is why the Apostle Paul understood this, right? This is why the Apostle Paul said, if you're led by the Paracletus, you have no need of the law. Well, if I don't have the law, ain't no telling what I'll do. He goes, yeah, because you ain't got the Paracletus. Then you're right. Ain't no telling what you'll do. But Paul says, if you're led by the Spirit, you don't need the law. Why? Because the Holy Spirit guides you. The Paracletus guides you. Well, if I come here, I'd go to Rich. Hey, Rich, you made me so mad the other day, I could just hit you. But because the Bible said not to, I'm not, brother. How about, that's the law, praise Jesus. How about, there's nothing within my heart why I would ever want to hurt you. That's the difference. See? Be under the law. That's the reason all these people under the law are not happy. And they don't like people. You know, because I really wanted to hit Rich. I can't. So I'm mad at God and Rich. See? You see what I'm saying? But if the Paracletus is working within you, in love of God and love of other people, you don't want to hurt them. See, that's what Jesus is saying. So that's the point that they're making here. And that's the point that the Apostle Paul fully understands. He said, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't need to be. It says, you're not led by the law. You're led by the Paracletus. So here you have. Therefore, because of this doctrine we understand, because of this, Jesus, just before he ascended, this is what he told his disciples. Okay? Now remember, he's already told them, I'm going, but Paracletus has come, another, he's just like me, he's coming, but why go and we'll send him? So he's ascending into heaven. Jesus ascending into heaven. Acts 1:4, and Jesus' parting words are this. Jesus ordered them, the disciples, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. And the promise was the Paracletus. Don't go. Don't, oh my God, don't go any place. Oh, please, don't go. Oh, it'd be the biggest train wreck we ever saw. Don't go. But wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father for which they were waiting was the Spirit, a truce, the another Paracletus that was just like Jesus. Don't go till the Paracletus comes. That's the promise of the Father. Doesn't it make sense? That's why he said it. That's why he said it. I mean, hey, you've been with me 3 years. You got it now. You'll never get it. Just do the best you can. You know? That's not what he said. He's just wait. Don't go anyplace. You've been with me 3 years, and I know, oh my God, I wouldn't send you any place. Just stay till you get the promise of the Father, which is the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit. Now, from the very, very beginning, after the disciples received the Paracletus, received the Holy Spirit, they understood it. The very first church understood this. The early church understood this fully, all right? First church, they're getting together the first time. And it's, the first church fully understood this, and they attributed, it's associated and accompanying with salvation. You didn't, then it's not separate. It's with salvation. Listen to Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, now he, you know, received the Holy Spirit, the Paracletus. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. How many have put a big period there, and that's been the total picture of your salvation? Mine was for years. Total period there. And it's true, but it's not a period there. It's a comma. There's a comma there, right? It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paracletus. They go together. You're safe with the Holy Spirit. And He's working His will. He's being the Paracletus in your life. He is being the Paracletus in your life. Now, we know, now make a point. Now you got to kind of make some doctrinal distinctions here. We know that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I need an amen. You come to know that you're sealed. You got it. Okay? It's kind of like your husband or your wife. It's sealed. You got them. All right? You're supposed to keep them, but you got them as far as Jesus is concerned. All right? So you seal. And that's what it says in Ephesians 1:13. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you believed in Him, and you were sealed with, and anyhow, it says the promised Holy Spirit. Where'd the promised Holy Spirit come? He's the Paracletus, promise of the Father. Father promised it. Okay, so we know we're sealed. Amen? Then the Lord tells us this also. Although we are sealed, it is our responsibility to be filled with the Holy Spirit and live by His power. That's our decision. That's our responsibility. I'll talk about that Holy Spirit stuff. Fine, you'll be living just like everybody else. These Christians just live like the world. Because they're not paying any attention to Paracletus. They're into the forgiveness stuff, you know, but they're not into the Paracletus stuff. See? No, that changes, you know, we have a responsibility to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this word, and it's interesting, this verb here, the present tense of the verb, points to a continuous replenishment. Go on being filled. So that's it. It's saying, go on being filled. Go on being filled. Go on being filled. You know? We all say that every morning. Go on being filled. See? It's a constant replenishment. And that's why it's saying, go on being filled. And you know something? It makes an impact when you're filled with the Spirit. You know how I know it makes an impact? Y'all know where I'm going, don't you? You read the sentence before this in Ephesians? This is why I know when you're filled, you know it. Because it says, don't be drunk with wine. Now, we all know what that means, don't we? Nobody wants to acknowledge that. So don't be drunk with wine. Fills you. Takes control. You know, and you fall over a few chairs and say things you shouldn't have. There's a presence, and you know you have that presence. He goes, don't do that, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that will come out, and you'll speak that way. You'll be alert that way, and that way will work to do what I want you to do. Continually be filled. To be drunk, you have to continually drink. To be filled, you got to continually drink. There it is. So you got the Paracletus right here. Continually be filled with the Paracletus. Now, logically, I'm trying to think of something. How I'm trying to make this practical. How do you live it out? Logically, you know, this comes from walking with Jesus and continually seeking with Him. Okay? Logically, we know that's the basis for that. The only thing I can liken it to is to be filled with the Spirit. It's kind of like a marriage. All right? Like a marriage. You know, we need to always pay attention in a marriage. Right? I paid attention last week. You know, I mean, that's too much pressure on me to pay attention 2 weeks in a row. You're looking at that silly. We do it with the Holy Spirit. We do it with Jesus. See? Like marriage. We always pay attention. We keep the fire burning. Have you heard that? May have heard it in your own house. I don't know. You certainly watch it. You keep the fire burning and do not let the flame die out. Now, that's what's happening in top marriage right there. I'm just telling you, okay? Just keep the fire burning. Don't let the flame diet. It's a living relationship. And this is the reason the Apostle Paul says, he says in 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason, I remind you, fan into a flame the gift of God which is in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into a flame the Paracletus. You got it in salvation. Be filled with it and fan it into a flame. Fan it into a flame. There's responsibility on our part. What if your spouse, I'm not going to pick on women or guys, okay, says, how would you like to do so-and-so? And they go, whatever. Now, I don't like that word. Linda detests that word. Oh, my goodness. Okay. It's like, what if God said, hey, wife, I want you to do this. Whatever. It's like, Thank God, and that's not going anyplace. God, I want you to do whatever. See, that's not what this is. No, it's not a whatever. You got to fan into a flame what you're doing. You got to keep that fan, going strong. And we talk about believers, and we've discussed it before. People just kind of float away, just don't stay involved, and, just kind of ready to just kind of roll off into the sunset, We're not fanning that flame. The Paracletus, I just want to let you know, the Paracletus doesn't get old. The Paracletus doesn't get gray hair. Okay? See, he's doing good. You need to continue to fan that flame. Fan that flame. And he'll continue to guide us and tell us, because he's going to teach us all things. All things. Now, huge application. Be filled, fed into a flame. All right. And again, what to be in doing the marriage relationship or something like that. How do you keep the fire burning or fan into a flame? Well, first of all, you spend time, you interact, you talk, you know what's going on, you're sharing what's going on, you're doing things together, you have it there in the forefront of your mind to be together when things happen. It's okay. It's got this thing's hitting in all cylinders. God goes, try it with Jesus. Try it with Jesus. He loves your company. Jesus loves your company. And that's the reason Jesus, when he left, I'll give you another Paracletus. Helps us put things into perspective too. So we wrap it up with this. Being filled with the Spirit, this Paracletus, it's not difficult. Oh my God, be filled with the Spirit. I don't know what to do. It's not difficult. Here's the basis. Love Jesus. Now, there's important here. I've accepted Jesus. Good. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. There you go. Love Jesus. And here's, and we'll see it later on, and he throws this in. I could just rest with loving Jesus, okay, and work on that. But then he says, love Jesus, and he goes, love other believers. Love your brothers and sisters. There you go. What? All right, here we are. But I love y'all. It's just up to me. Love Jesus and other believers. And here's the then, and this is the absolute truth. Love Jesus, love your brothers and sisters, then ask. He didn't tell you to do anything, he said, ask. I'm going to go feed the poor, now fill me with the Holy Spirit. No, it won't. Maybe a good thing to do, but it won't fill you with the Holy Spirit. Ask. You ask. God goes, love me, love other people, and then ask. You go into the situation, you ask. Wherever you go, ask. God, I'm going to difficult. You ask to be present. You ask him to fill you. You ask him to go in that difficulty. You ask. See? That's how you feel. That's how you fan it into a flame. See? God, I just feel kind of down. Lord, fill me. Fill me. Fill me. The Holy Spirit overrides everything. Tells you everything. Fill me. But again, you got to love Him. He's not just a side thought. Love Him. He's a function of your life. Love Him. Ask in every situation. Now listen how Jesus puts it in Luke. Now he puts it this for a reason, so he can communicate with us. Like, you know, I'd use the thing about marriage, about relationship. How do you do that? You know, and that I'm using that marriage so that gives us an understanding to keep the flame alive, you know. And I bet you everybody in here knows what I'm talking about. Okay? Look what Jesus does. What he says about we ask for the Spirit. Take note how he communicates this. Luke 11:13. If you then, who are evil. See, he doesn't set us up like, oh, you're so sweet. Nice to have you on my team. He doesn't do it, you know. He doesn't say it. He knows fully who we are to our core. Okay? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Circle that in your Bible. Underline it in your iPad. Do something. Circle it. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, the Paracletos, to those? Tell me what it says, to those who what? Ask. I don't know how to get there. You ain't talking to Jesus, all right? If you don't know how to get there, you're not talking to Jesus. If you don't know how to get there, you don't have a relationship where you can come before Him with everything. He's out there, you're here, and He's not the fullness and the Trinity, not indwelling you. You're separated in your mind somehow. He goes, no, just ask me. You're evil and you can give good gifts to your kids. I'm not evil and I want to give good gifts to my kids. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm leaving you to send you another just like me, the Paracletos. Ask for His function in your life, for His presence in your life, to override what's in your life, to give you instruction, what you're supposed to do. That's your responsibility. Then have enough guts to do what He tells you to do. Have enough guts to do what He tells you to do. See? Have enough. What does that verse say? Ask. Ask. And what does it say before that? How much more? If you just ask, how much more will I do for you? Now here I have a little note to myself here. Do you know what this is? We think, oh wow, this is kind of out there, and wow, it's kind of hard to comprehend. But you know what it is? It's normal. This is normal. This is a normal Christian functioning the way you're supposed to function. It's normal. God's going, I'm trying to tell you how to be normal. But I can't. That's the whole point that you have the Paracletos. Be normal. How much more I want to give you? Just be normal. Be a normal Christian and ask me and let me work in you. It's normal. It's normal. Brothers and sisters, we're covered with the blood. We are forgiven. So be normal and ask. Be asked. The magnitude of God's love for us and the power available to us is unimaginable because Jesus has sent another Paracletos. Therefore, be normal and ask. All things are ours to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll close with this verse. Love it. Then it's great to put this in context. John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That's it. And now we're understanding have eternal life with the fullness of the Trinity dwelling in us and making a home and a relationship that's beyond comprehension. See how big that verse got? See how big that verse got right there. So, with that, I want us to pray. And I'm going to give you some time, and I'll pray with you. But I think your prayer should start with, "Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I teach you all things. I teach you all things. How much more? You know I give gifts to your kids. God bless you. How much? You're evil. You know how I give gifts to your kids. I'm making a point." And he says, "How much more will I give you the Holy Spirit? How much more will I fill you with the Holy Spirit if you ask? If you ask." Oh, amen. I would just kind of bow our heads and just think this. Bow our heads for a minute. Bow our heads. Ask each one of you, to each person, just to go before the Lord. Because this is each individual. Each individual has a paracletus. This is individual. This is not a group think. In your life, say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come." Dear Heavenly Father, come, Holy Spirit, come. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the incredible that the fullness of the Trinity indwells with us. You made your home with us. Let us be excited about every step we take, everything we do. Let us be excited because you're doing a work in us beyond anything we can imagine. God, take all fear away. Take all fear away, Lord. Take all insecurity away. God, let us just be strong in you and who you are. Every difficulty that comes our way, just say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." And knowing you're moving heaven and earth and you're doing things we can't even imagine. Last week's message, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And I've also given you the paracletus. It will teach you all things. I pray that each individual would just take place of the privileged position they have and to be excited about the power of the Holy Spirit at work within them. And know, because the scripture says so, knowing full well that when we ask, you will tell us. You will guide us. You will lead us. And we can have full confidence in that. Full confidence in that. You died, paid the penalty for our sins, forgave us. You gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us. God, we praise your holy name. We thank you. And I do pray you speak to each individual in a supernatural way that will be encouraging to them, specific to them, specific to their situation, that you will confirm your reality and your love for them and your power for them. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.